Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
Hello and welcome into another edition of the Financial Flight Plan podcast with the team from Estes Financial Services. Bree Reyes here on the program with me this week. They're serving you from the Metroplex area. They've got an office in Fort Worth, and you can always check us out online at estesfinancial.net. That is estesfinancial.net. Don't forget, while you're there, right when you pop onto the website, you'll see the podcast, and you can click on Listen Now to check out this episode, past episodes. You can also subscribe on Google Play and iTunes and Stitcher and various other ways. And of course, if you have questions or concerns, anytime you need some help, reach out to Tim and Bree. They are investor coaches and certified financial planners, and you can call them at 817-444-8402. That's 817-444-8402. Miss Bree, welcome in. How are you, dear?
I am doing fabulous. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for asking, and I appreciate you having me on the podcast this week. Walter is on a little vacation, so I'm sitting in with you, and I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. Yeah, me too. I'm glad to have you. I hope Walter's having a good vacation.
I think so. He sent me a couple of pictures. They were doing some fun stuff. So they were down in Mexico, I believe, and they were doing some cliff diving and some riding some vehicles through the jungle and all sorts of stuff. So I'm sure we'll have some pictures and stuff to see a little later on. But for now, let's keep our attention as to why we're here, and that's to talk with you about the world of finance and investing and retirement. And I guess you've got a little personal story you want to share here. Tell me what's going on with this.
Well, this is part two of the jury duty story from last month.
I've heard about this. Yeah, okay.
I got my first jury duty summons of my life.
Oh, wow. Lucky you. They made it. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Okay, so there is a part of me that is a political science nerd. It was one of my majors in college, and I will admit that I have no problem doing my civic duty, and I find it interesting how the law works.
Okay.
So there was a part of me that was a little teeny tiny bit excited. And so what happened was I got called, and then I get an email saying, yeah, don't show up at regular time, show up later. I show up the first day, and they said, and I'm just making a long story short because this part was in last month's podcast if you want to listen to it, but
absolutely,
they're like, yeah, you've basically all been already chosen for a jury, but one of the attorneys is sick, somebody's sick, so we can't start the case today, so we'll start it next week. Have a nice weekend.
Okay.
Come back Monday at 9 a.m. to this exact same courtroom.
Right.
So we know nothing. Those of us who have basically been, at this point, there were like 23 of us in there. Mm-hmm. And so I guess they were going to have to do some voir dire. And so they send us all, which is, if you have watched Bull or any Law and Order shows, that's where they try to throw out the jurors they don't like.
They don't want, right, yeah.
So I come back Monday and I am nervous and kind of excited, and you know, now we're gonna do actual questioning and this type of thing, and I realize that I am going to get thrown out.
Okay.
Because the questions that they asked, they sent us an email, and the questions that they asked made me sound like a giant walking contradiction.
Okay.
And so I'm just sitting there, because they did, and so I'm sitting there, and I'm just waiting for them to start, you know, asking us questions and calling us out, and for them to say, yeah, you're excused, and a walking contradiction, go away. But we don't even get to that. The judge comes in and he sits down and he's just shaking his head. Lovely gentleman. And he says, guys, I'm sorry, but they settled, or the state or the city figured out over the weekend that they don't have enough evidence to pursue this case. It was a domestic violence dispute.
Okay.
And they were charging the wife, and then come to find out over the weekend that with not only domestic violence, but also a DUI, we'll come to find out over the weekend, she got the DUI because she was fleeing in fear of her life, and her damages or her injuries, I think, were worse than his, obviously. So she was not the aggressor, is what the county figured out over the weekend. And he told us all this and said, congratulations, this is your jury duty. So if you get asked to do it again, you've actually done it. And by the way, now we're going to pay you $40 for just showing up.
That big $40. Yeah, exactly.
Well, it's the raise from the $6. That is true. For showing up twice. But we've decided, yeah, we're not going to go forward with this case.
Wow.
And so I'm sitting there. I'm like, so you mean I've done this? twice.
And I don't get to actually do it.
Do you want to ask me a question? I feel like you should ask me questions.
You're like those legal nerds sitting there that they're, you know, going wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, like, yeah, let's go. You know, they're probably going, this lady, what's wrong with her? She actually wants to be on jury duty.
Well, and I knew the minute that their first question was, do you have anybody in your family that's a lawyer? And I have quite a few family members that are lawyers. Including my mother-in-law, who is a retired municipal court judge. So I knew the minute that I said my mother-in-law was a retired municipal court judge, they were going to throw me off. Like, we're done with her.
Here you go. Have a nice day.
They didn't even ask me. I was so disappointed.
That's funny.
So I have technically served on jury duty and technically never served on jury duty all on the same day. Basically.
Well,
I got $40 out of it. Thank you, Tarrant County.
There you go. Well, that's pretty interesting. So there you go. That's the conclusion to the jury duty story, if you happen to catch last month's podcast episode. And so there you go. That's kind of the wrap up on that. Interesting. Very interesting. Well, maybe next year. What is it? Every couple of years or something like that? I think or is it every year you can get called?
No, it's a couple of years. If they call me, I am allowed to say I have recently served on jury duty.
Gotcha. Well, we'll see what happens moving on.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's get into some financial talk, Bree. I got three kind of things I want to toss at you here. These are kind of must-do action items to prepare for retirement from federal service. And I wanted to kind of get your take on a few of these. I got a couple of bullet points for you. The first one is really just kind of getting clear, kind of crystal clear on your federal history.
Exactly. Tim and I are both chartered federal employee benefits consultants. So we actually work with a lot of federal retirees or federal employees that are getting ready for retirement. In fact, every year we are retested on their benefits and their retirement plan. It's crazy. I'm as nerdy about this as I am the law, if you can believe it or not. And the thing with the federal government is basically the country's largest employer, if you think about the number of people that work for the federal government. But they're also, how do I put this politely, stuck in the Stone Age a little bit when it comes to record keeping?
Oh, they can be, very much so. My wife used to work for the DOD. Well, yeah.
Okay, so you know this.
Yeah.
So what we've had is we have federal employees that we meet with every day, and we've had people come in with their leave and earning statements, and their, you know, you can get an analysis of your retirement benefits from the federal government, but come in and they're missing years of service history, either because maybe they switched jobs, maybe somebody forgot to type something in, but years. The worst case we've ever seen is somebody who bought back their military time.
Okay.
And they had the receipt. So they had spent all this money to buy back their military service, and they had their receipt somewhere. She said it was in a storage unit, which always scares me a little bit when you start with somewhere. But the government showed no record of it. And that military service, that time, really affects the calculation for the pension.
Right, exactly.
So really, you can't trust, and this goes to basically any employee, but I'm a big fan of the trust but verify situation. And especially federal employees, you have to be your own best advocate to make sure the agency's records of service are correct. So you want to keep those SF-50s, all of them. I know it's a pain. Scan them and put them on a thumb drive somewhere. And maybe keep the paper copies too, because digital corrupts and paper burns. So it's always good to have it two different ways.
That's a good thought, yeah.
You know, you want to take a look at military service, part-time service, temporary time, periods of service that were refunded to the employee because of a break in service. So if not all of those are handled correctly, it can seriously leave you short when calculating your annuity. So you want to certify your federal service. Now, you may get a little pushback from HR. They don't necessarily love doing this, but you are entitled as a federal employee to this at any time during your federal career. Get it early. That's the other thing. Look at this early. Don't look at this the week before you retire. Because if there's a problem, you want to fix it before you leave.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You don't want to wait until after you're no longer there and then you're fighting with OPM. So, in fact, the lady that I mentioned that was missing the military time, she had to go through a storage unit and find her receipt, because the burden of proof is on you, the federal employee, to prove you worked for them. Not them, you.
Very interesting. Yeah, you want to make sure that we are definitely getting, that's kind of the first step on our three must-do action items here, is getting crystal clear on your own federal history and making sure you can kind of have that corroborating information to back that up. And then, Bree, a second piece might be the best of both worlds. And I want you to explain this a little bit when you're talking about both the government benefits and private sector solutions.
Yes. So it's always good to talk to somebody, especially somebody that is an expert in your benefits, about making sure that you're not going to run out of money and making sure, if you're concerned about this, protecting your assets for your beneficiaries. Although some of the government benefits are available in retirement, they don't really compare cost-wise sometimes and option-wise to some of the private sector alternatives. So you want to take a look at that, making sure you're getting the most bang for your buck. You've worked hard for your money, make your money work hard for you. So make sure that you are getting the best benefit for the least amount of money, or the amount of money that you're willing to spend. We get a lot of calls from people who have stayed on either life insurance or long-term care and are shocked, especially life insurance. And they're shocked at how much the prices increase in life insurance. Especially if you have all the bells and whistles, not just basic, but times five and spouse and kids and whatnot. As you get older, those prices increase.
Yeah.
If we had a case where somebody, a gentleman came in here and he was spending almost his entire pension on life insurance benefits.
How? Wow.
Well, because he didn't realize that the bands and the age increases would get as bad as they got.
Right.
And there is a point at diminishing returns where you are basically just sending your money straight back or not getting anything at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
So you want to make sure that, what do I have, A? Do I need everything I have? If I need it, am I getting it for the best cost, the best situation I can be in? Because you don't want to send your entire pension back. You've worked hard for that. Heck, you have a pension. Not a lot of employees.
I was going to say, a lot of people don't even have that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Let's make sure you can keep as much of it as you have.
Yeah. Yeah. Maximizing that is certainly important when you're talking about putting these pieces together. We're kind of talking about this here from the federal side, if you will. And a lot of times, but a lot of these things I think you can parlay into anything, whether you happen to be federal or non-federal. But the final piece of our three little bullet points here is the emergency fund. Now, we talk about emergency funds a lot when we're talking about retirement planning. And in this case, you want to make sure that you have enough in that fund, especially for the transition period into retirement.
Yes. OPM can often take up to a year to figure out your exact retirement check. And it's worse when there's a government shutdown.
It's very true. Very true.
A lot of people found this out at the beginning of the year because there's only so many people working for OPM. Those poor cave people. I've talked about this before on the podcast. They literally work in a cave. They're the least thanked federal employee, I think. And they are in charge of your retirement and your life. So it takes them, and they literally still use paper files. They use paper files in a cave.
You never notice that when you're watching like various movies or TV shows, and especially if it's a government type of organization and it's very sleek and kind of sexy and their offices are very high tech and, you know, giant screens and glass, you know, rooms and everything's very modern looking. And then if you actually go to some places that are actually the federal government, you go, yeah, no.
It depends.
It does depend. There are some of those places. That's
right.
Very true. Very true.
OPM, as it sits right now, is not that.
Right.
They're in a cave for a reason. They are protecting your records, which is awesome.
Yep.
I wonder if they get daily, like, sunlight breaks. They need them.
Sunlight break, everybody. Let's go outside.
But what we found is most people don't have a properly funded emergency fund.
Right.
Or they think that their pension's just going to be perfect right away. And they don't realize that it's not a smooth transition, and you want to make sure you have enough cash in your bank to get through that time period. I mean, the biggest fear everybody has is, you know, am I doing the right thing? Am I going to run out of money? Can I pay my bills next week? And I think a lot of federal employees learned when we had the government shutdown that OPM is not the fastest of the government agencies. So be prepared.
Yeah, absolutely.
And remember, the biggest thing is blind loyalty to the government is always a problem. They don't have a monopoly on good ideas. So this is why I said earlier, you know, seek solutions that are tailored specifically for you. We want to make sure you have enough of an emergency fund, because your emergency fund may be very different than what I would consider an emergency fund for the time period. And this is where a combination of government benefits and private products might have different features that complement each other and might be better for your wallet in the long run.
Well, if you need some help with that, you know, that's one of the reasons we do the podcast. Make sure if you've got some questions or concerns, reach out and talk to Tim and Bree at Estes Financial Services, 817-444-8402. If you need some immediate help, go ahead and call before you take any action, folks. Make sure that you always talk with a professional, 817-444-8402. But definitely subscribe to the podcast. Go on the website at estesfinancial.net. That's estesfinancial.net. And click on the little link. You'll see where you can subscribe to the podcast and check out the team online while you're there as well. All right, well, let's kind of shake it up a little bit and have a little fun and do a little getting to know you segment here. And I got a fun question for you. We're going to wrap up our podcast here pretty soon this week, but I wanted to ask you this fun little thing. Is there a movie out there that you like, you see it come on television or something like that? You know, you've already seen it like a million times, but for whatever reason, it kind of sucks you in. You'll sit down and watch it anyway.
There are a few baseball movies. I'm a sucker for baseball movies.
Okay.
But the one that I will watch from start to finish 1,000 times, A League of Their Own.
Nice. Very good.
There's no crying in baseball.
That's right. That's right. So many good moments in that film. Tom Hanks and Gina Davis are just fantastic anyway. So
Gina Davis is a national treasure. I don't think she gets enough recognition. I really, really don't. And the focus that that movie is actually put on women's baseball is fascinating, because there was a time period. I mean,
oh, yeah. No.
And that's the thing. I love good historical fiction movies that maybe are not 100% true historical, but it gives you an idea of what happened.
Right.
And you walk away feeling like you know a little bit more.
Exactly.
That's one of those. And the sisterly dynamic. My sister and I played tennis together and against each other in high school. We played on a doubles team together, and then we played against each other quite a few times. And so the sister dynamic just cracks me up.
Yeah. Well, oh, and John Lovitz, he's so fantastic in that as well, as the as the scout. So yeah, great movie. Well, there you go. That's a fun little bit. League of Their Own. I haven't seen that in a while, but I think maybe the next time it comes on, I'll have to sit down and watch it again.
Good. I highly recommend it.
Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Well, let's finish up this week's podcast, or this podcast here, talking about an email question that we've gotten in, and it's from Angie. And Angie's got a pretty good question for you. She says, Bree, I'm retiring at 60, and I'm thinking about delaying the start of my Social Security until I'm 66. Is it unwise for me to live solely on my savings for that many years?
Ooh, this is a really good and complex question, Angie. I like it. A lot of parts to it. You're retiring at 60. Well, I get why you'd want to delay your start of your Social Security until at least full retirement age, because otherwise you're taking a penalty against money that's earned you for the rest of your life.
Right.
They're not going to give you a bonus when you get to 66 or six, whatever your full retirement age amount is, according to Social Security. Mm-hmm. You're going to be stuck with that lower amount for the rest of your life. Is it unwise to live solely off your savings? Now, this is an interesting question, because my question, this is the puzzle. This is the nerd in me. It depends on how your savings are set up. Are they 401k savings? You know, do you have a ticking tax time bomb, as I call it, where you have a ton of qualified money? Is this money sitting in the bank that you already have that maybe you have in CDs that you're not earning a lot off of? Is this money in an individual account? We have some really good software that we take your taxes and take a look at Social Security and take a look at how Social Security and IRA distributions will affect your taxes. And that's where I would turn with this question. Because I would say, generally, if you have the savings, maybe look at doing that, but it depends on longevity, what you have outside the bank. If you don't have enough to make those 6 years, then you can't do that. And how this is going to affect your taxes. How is your savings set up? And I'd like to run that scenario for you and kind of take a look at it.
Yeah. And the other piece that she doesn't mention, so we don't know if she's addressed it, but if she's retiring at 60, you know, you can't activate the healthcare stuff until 65.
Yeah, no, that's something else. Yeah. We hadn't even thought about that. Yeah, no, that's another puzzle too, is how are you going to provide health insurance for yourself?
She may have that gap with, if she's leaving her job, she may have that figured out. She doesn't mention it in the email, but certainly something, if you're contemplating this, you want to think about.
Exactly. I would say the first thing you need to do, Angie, is give us a call or shoot us an email and get our tax-free retirement toolkit, or our ticking tax time bomb toolkit, where we've got that book, the Financial Flight Plan book, 7 Lessons to Save Your Retirement, and then read that. Do some research before you pull the trigger early on Social Security. It's like, well, it's like saying a bad word in front of your mom. Once it's out, it's out. You're not going to get that one back. You can't pull that one back.
That's right.
And it's kind of, it works that way with Social Security too. So you want to make sure that that is your plan. You're also going to get a couple of reports, the 5 risks that could destroy your retirement, and a tax special report, which nowadays taxes are kind of, it's an interesting scenario because everybody thinks their taxes went down. And then some people did their return and went, whoa, 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 I'm paying more. And you also could get an investor awareness guide. So it's a $97 value that we're going to send to you absolutely free. Just reach out and call our office. And that may help you, Angie, make the decision for you. It's an individual personal decision as to when do you take your Social Security. And there's a lot of factors that go into play. But retiring that early, you've got some challenges you've got to think about.
Yeah. Well, it's a great idea. If you'd like to get that toolkit again, you can give them a call at 817-444-8402. It's packed with a lot of good information. They'll get that out to you as well. 817-444-8402 for that retirement toolkit, box of goodies, if you will. And as always, you know, thanks for being on the podcast, Bree. Appreciate your time, folks. Make sure you subscribe to it. You can listen to past episodes. You can get notifications on future episodes, whether it's Google or iTunes or Stitcher or iHeart, whatever your various podcast platform is. So many more people now are listening to podcasts when they're driving. You know, you can just Bluetooth your phone to the car, whether you're out doing yard work or gardening or whatever. So many more people are doing that now versus traditional radio and satellite radio. So make sure you check us out and subscribe to the show. And Bree, thanks always for your time, dear. I appreciate you here on the Financial Flight Plan podcast.
Thank you so much. And everyone, go out and lead an abundant life.